Episode number 93 of the Millionaire Mindcast. I'm back, baby.
Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
I'm back. What's going on, everybody? Man, I missed you guys. And for those that didn't even know I was gone, well, I missed you anyways. I'm your host, Matty A, and it's my pleasure to welcome you into the very first Millionaire Mindcast episode of 2017, the show where I explore all things mindset, money, and motivation to help you increase your income, impact, and influence. I don't know about you, but I am absolutely ready to just dominate this year. I mean, I'm ready to take it to the next level. And since the last show in December of 2016, you know, I've successfully launched the six-figure flipper course in the Mastermind group, where I teach people how to invest in real estate and specifically really how to build a six-figure income flipping houses. I bought four new rental properties myself for my portfolio, which I'm always stoked about, adding to that passive income, that long-term legacy wealth that I always talk about. I took on a few new private coaching students who are looking to level up in their life and their business in 2017, which is always fun. I got to do some goal planning with the staff and celebrate them and their hard work this year, so that was always fun, kind of capping off the year, going out to dinner, having some drinks, eating a lot of good food, laughing, hanging out. But most importantly, I got to take off 2 weeks and hang with my wife and my daughter. I got to spend time with family. I got to hit some hobbies real hard. And overall, I just got to relax and plan out my next year of growth, which I always love doing during the kind of tail end of the year. And one of my big goals in my growth vision for 2017 is continuing to elevate the show. So before we dive into today's episode, just let me say, this next year, you can expect more amazing guests, better free tools and resources for you to implement in your own life, and more valuable content coming from the Millionaire Mindcast staff and myself. So with that said, I want to introduce you to today's guests, Alexi Panos and Preston Smiles. If you've been anywhere on Instagram or Facebook or really YouTube, anywhere in social media over the last few years, then I guarantee you have seen or witnessed the power of these two individuals in person or through, you know, the digital world. But they are known as the personal development industry's power couple, and they have become powerful thought leaders in the emergent wisdom movement. And you'll learn a little bit more about what that means through their books and the program they founded called The Bridge Method. But overall, they are a younger millennial couple who is just crushing it. And they are very, very, very wise in how they deliver their content. And what I love about the both of them is just that they're extremely genuine and authentic. And I always love connecting and learning from people like that. And in today's interview, you're going to get to experience that firsthand. So overall, the two of them, they just ooze positive energy. They share love, and they're some real deep thinkers. So I know you'll get out a lot of today's episode. We covered some really interesting topics like how you can design your life through choice and how you can have the freedom of a millionaire without having to have millions in the bank. So that was a really cool topic that I liked, you know, discussing with them. They also shared why they believe the act of gratitude is so powerful and what it can do to enhance your life, you know, what you gain from giving others and how it's really reciprocated in elevating your own life on many different levels. I also loved how they talked about exploring the concept of this quote-unquote human game that we're all engaged in and playing in. And, you know, there was just many gems in here. So I'm going to go ahead and shut up and let's go ahead and dive into the episode. Well, I'm excited to welcome in our two guests today, Alexi Panos and Preston Smiles. What up?
What up?
The bird call.
Bird call is out.
How you guys doing today?
Oh, so good, so good. Thanks for having us on.
It's an honor. You know, I gotta say, there's guests that I just get fired up to talk with, and you just immediately know when, you know, we got to connect a little bit before and conversate and having some mutual friends and connections. You know when you get aligned with good people, and I'm excited to be able to actually spend some time with you guys and share some of the amazing things that you guys have been up to and all the traveling that you guys have been doing. What the heck have you guys been up to the last year?
Wow, that's a big question. So the last year we have basically, put it this way, January of last year, we sent out basically a declaration saying that this was going to be the year that we went pro. This was going to be the year that we, you know, put everything that we had on the table, put it all out on the field, and this year has not disappointed. So we've been all around the world 1,000 times and back, got married, went on our honeymoon,
created
new programs.
We've been to Africa twice, Bali twice.
Wrote a book and released two books.
Yep. Hawaii, where else?
Morocco, Spain.
Yeah. We've been all over the world.
Australia,
New Zealand. Yeah.
Yeah, we have been everywhere. And this year has been full of
Singapore.
That Korea. Is awesome. I think many people feel like the life you guys are living might be unattainable to them,
yeah,
right?
Never.
And
they feel that way. They totally feel that way because, you know, they look at what we do and how we do it, and they say, man, that must be nice that they can travel that much, that they can do it together, that they have freedom to choose where they go. Because Preston and I will literally pick up and go to Mexico and work for a week. And, you know, people, it kind of makes people's brains explode.
Yeah.
And they go, wait a second, one, you're in Mexico, how are you getting any work done there? And it's like, for us, the line between work and play is so blurred, and we've designed our life that way, and it's not unattainable, it's just a matter of choice. And if you choose to live that kind of lifestyle, you can totally design your life that way. It takes work, but if you love what you do, it doesn't feel like it.
And here's the caveat I'll add to that as well. It also doesn't take millions.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have this idea that you need millions in order to actually live an awesome life. And that's not really true.
Yeah.
And we'll be the first to admit we are not millionaires yet. We do have 3 six-figure businesses. So if you add all of those up, yeah. But, you know.
But even before we hit our six-figure marks in our companies.
Yeah, not even close.
We were living this lifestyle. And it's just a matter of priorities. You know, we don't drink. We don't spend money on going out. We really, you know, don't spend money on clothes. We live pretty close to the ground, and all of our money goes into travel. And we found travel hacks to get all over the world. We stay with amazing friends or people in our community. And we've just found ways to make it happen and make it a possibility.
That's amazing. I want to unpack that a little bit because you guys touched on some things that we can't just move on to the next topic. There's so much goodness in there. You guys are living, you were already living like millionaires before you've even become millionaires.
And oh,
I think
yeah.
That's one of the things that I love to highlight on this show is, you know, it's not about money. You know, it's really not about money. And you guys are living what a lot of people would say is a millionaire plus type lifestyle. You guys are living this all-inclusive lifestyle where you are working hard, you're playing hard, and you're molding the two together. But you guys touched on something that I want to kind of dive into a little bit with. You made a declaration this year. You guys like set your intention. What was it that allowed all of that to kind of come into alignment and see that momentum and the internal declaration become your external reality?
Well, of many things, but we'll start here. So we've come into the understanding that it is not our job to make it happen, but it is our job to welcome it. And the moment that we are welcoming creativity, welcoming abundance, welcoming love, and not necessarily trying to force and become something, everything sort of opens up. You know, there's a law in the universe called the law of least effort, or the law of economy, right? Which basically states that the grass doesn't try to grow, it just does. The waves don't try to ebb and flow, they just do, right? And so everything is intended, and nothing in nature is efforting its way into existence. It's all in the flow. And so what we find is most people are in resistance to life, and therefore life is in resistance to them. So instead of trying to make it happen and will and hustle hard and never sleep and all of that stupid stuff that's being you know, pumped into Instagram, we literally are just paying attention and not trying to become, because the becoming usually denotes that we're trying to be something other than what we are.
Yeah.
Right? And the moment you can accept what is, then you essentially open up the floodgates for the universe, God, Buddha, Allah, Krishna, whatever name is on the door for you, to co-create with you. And so, yes, there's lots of action and stuff behind that, but yeah, that's the beginning part of it.
Yeah, and I want to add to that, too, that, you know, it's a matter of, and I'm going to get a little, you know, metaphysical here for a second. It's a matter of removing the things that kept our vibration low. And this is what a lot of people don't get. You know, they want the big life, they want the money, they want the cars, they want the success, but they are not a vibrational match for that to show up in their life. Mm-hmm. So for us, again, it's not about willing or trying to become a vibrational match. It's just about raising our vibration based on what's already here. So that really means gratitude.
Yep.
And gratitude and joy and play and all of that, like really getting present to life and the gifts that are here right in front of us, no matter how much money we have or don't have in our account, literally raises our frequency as human beings. And that frequency sends out a signal in the universe. And this is scientific, this isn't woo-woo. It raises our frequency, and you know, it's vibrationalmatch.com. We literally what we vibrate out. So if you want to attract more, you have to reveal your highest vibration first. So we play all the time. We're grateful all the time. We are present to what's here instead of always, you know, future forecasting or looking in the past or living in the past. And that alone has changed the game. It's changed the game for us.
I think it's refreshing, too, how you both just touched on how this, you know, this kind of mentality nowadays, you hear the Gary V's, and it's not, you know, all of that, but a lot of people are saying, you know, will your way to win, or hustle and grind, it's the only way you're going to be a successful entrepreneur. And I think of the old, you know, the old song of row, row, row your boat gently down the stream instead of aggressively up the stream, which is what a lot of people are trying to do, right? How do you guys communicate to someone who might be feeling like, look, I'm doing everything right. I'm grinding, I'm hustling, I'm doing all the things that, quote unquote, you know, people are telling me success will equate to. How do you get them to audit what their vibrational match is, or how do they engage with what that looks like?
So I want to say quickly to that, it's your life is your feedback. So people say, I don't get it. I'm doing everything right. But yet they're still getting results that aren't working. So based on the results you're getting, if the results aren't working, there's something that isn't working. There's something that you're doing that's ineffective. So a lot of people are attached to the idea that they're doing everything right, and that's the problem. They're unwilling to see where there's a gap. And I always say, and Precedent always says in our work, we say, guys, your life is your feedback. Look at what's showing up right now. Where in your life is there a gap? If there's a gap in that area, turn the mirror on yourself and start going, where am I not willing to show up as more present, as more gratitude, with more joy, with more vitality? Because honestly, most people are hustling so hard that they're in the pain of life and they're not in the joy of the hustle.
And they're confusing activity with productivity.
Yeah.
And so we always remind people and ourselves that life isn't happening to us, it's responding to us. And so back to, you know, reaching for, and this is a metaphor that we use that we heard at Jerry and Esther Hicks, at Abraham Hicks, reaching for the low-hanging fruit, which basically means, you know, whenever one is experiencing anything out of alignment with what they're actually asking for, right? So if you're asking for a big life, but you're not experiencing a big life, then the best thing, the most practical thing you could do is reach for the low-hanging fruit, which means reach for the stuff that is easily attainable, that makes your heart smile.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you raise your vibration. And in raising your vibration, you bring more, let's say, oxygen, and you change your physiology, and everything changes. And because of that, you have more space available to move into what you're asking for.
Mm. It brings me back to also when you get to get some of those wins. I think a lot of people, they set these massive, you know, I don't want to say they're unattainable because they're not, but they set these massive goals almost where they somewhat set themselves up for a little bit of failure out of the starting gate. I love the metaphor of going for that low-hanging fruit, because you need some wins along the way to start building and compounding that confidence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What you celebrate gets repeated.
Yeah.
So the moment it's the other statement that everybody says is what you appreciates. And like, that's actually a big deal. You know, chasing the destination is a fool's game, because the ego will never be satisfied.
Ever.
The ego will always be looking for more. And so if we're always chasing the destination, 1 million, 2 million, 10 million, Ferrari, this girl, that
up?
Girl, yeah,
right.
Then you're stuck. You're trapped on a treadmill that's going straight to hell.
Yeah, and what's interesting is we've got a chapter in our book where we talk about goals being bullshit, and we really call out goals for what they are, because a lot of people have this idea that if you set goals, then you set yourself up to win. And listen, goals aren't necessarily bad, but it's not the goal we're after. You know, most people think they're after the million, the Ferrari, the partner, whatever it is, but what they're really after is the feeling that feeling will bring to them. So if you want $1 million in your business or whatever it might be, you're actually looking for security or maybe respect and admiration. And the thing is, if you can really get clear about the feelings you're after, then you can start getting those feelings and generating those feelings yourself on your own time on your way to the destination. And that's where you raise your vibration. So, you know, a lot of people, especially that we coach, are looking for partnership. Oh, I want the partner of my dreams. I'm ready to settle down. And really what they want is to experience love and admiration. So we have them doing that for themselves first.
Mm.
And the more they self-generate that love and admiration, what happens? They become an attractive human, because they're radiating love and self-admiration, and they're radiating joy from their cells, and people can't help but be attracted to that.
One of the things both of you guys have touched on for a lot of people, and just following you guys and engaging with your content, is both of you guys are very, very open with your emotions and your feelings and love, which for a lot of people, right, there's like this veneer, or there's this wall or this curtain up. How does one, because I found when I let that down and I actually let people in and I become my true authentic self and open up that space for not only me to look at and engage with it, but for others, everything else in my world becomes organic, the conversations, the people, the relationships, the experiences. How do you invite someone into that space? Because it can be a scary thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, at first.
Especially
for men, you know, because we're taught, especially in the Western world, that you know, to cry or to show emotions is a weakness. That means you're a sissy. That means you're a punk. And so it can be very difficult, because it hasn't been a practice that we've been using, you know, all our lives. And so one of the, you know, main sort of creeds that we live by is whatever you practice more of, you get more of. And so being in the practice of expressing oneself, whatever emotions are there, right? We assume that emotions always mean sadness or you know, anger or pain or any, just expressing. Once you're in the practice of expressing what's there and understanding that the emotions are just the clouds and you are the sky, then we can disassociate ourselves from them. So for me personally, a lot comes through, you know, but I know that it is not me. I know that I am made of the same stuff that the stars are made of, and that I'm 1,000 times bigger than any one emotion. And I also know that the moment I back, open myself up and you know, essentially allow myself to have these experiences, I become a lighthouse for other people, you know? It's the same thing that happens, and this is a very sort of silly version of it, but it's so true. Have you ever, like, went to a party or you know, been at a festival or something and saw that person dancing that sucked? I mean, they just were the worst dancers in the world.
We see it quite often.
I was going to say, I'm thinking of myself right now, but go on.
You're like, that's probably me.
But that person is so committed and they're so in it that their energy transfers to us, right? So you're like, you start out like, look at this guy. What is he doing? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, that guy is freaking awesome, right? And then all of a sudden that one dude turns, you know, makes the party and everybody's dancing around that one person.
True.
Because they've lit themselves on fire. They become the beacon because they've allowed the experience to pass through. They're being with what is. Back to it. I have this master formula that I made a video around. It's accept what is, let go of what was, have faith in what will be, and be here now. And in that moment, in my opinion, that terrible dancer is doing all three of those.
Yeah. And I want to add to that, too. I think most people in the world are truly dying to be themselves.
Yes.
They really are. And there's no better place to have the experience of your wholeness than in relation to another. And we're relating beings, and human beings are here to get to know themselves through the relating of another. And it's really powerful when we allow ourselves to get into that space of relationship and allow everything to be seen. And what's interesting is, although most people are dying to be themselves, when things get hard in relationships, most people are so quick to leave because it's like they're being faced off with the darkest parts of themselves. And it's hard because they've never been there before. But if you can stand in that and really hold your ground and do it with love and compassion, man, you just keep expanding that container. And like Preston says, you allow all that stuff to come through you, and you just expand and shine. And that's why I think a lot of people who are truly radiating out in the world, they're willing to show up as their fullness. They're willing to play in all parts of themselves, no matter how scary it is.
Yeah.
And Matt, I want to add to this as well. A practical way to begin this process for anybody who's out there going, all right, that sounds awesome, guys, but how the hell do you do that? First things first is pay attention to when you experience discomfort, and then bring a conscious awareness to what you do after. So a lot of people feel discomfort and then they go and watch porn.
Yeah, or eat.
Or they go shop.
Or
they
drink.
Try to have sex. Exactly. So if you can bring a conscious awareness to that and then choose something else, remember, whatever you focus on, you feel. And so you can see the thing and then go, okay, so what am I focusing on right now? I'm focusing on how I don't have what Gary Vee has or what Matt Atchison has or what such and such has. Okay, awesome. That doesn't feel good. That actually feels pretty crappy. Awesome. Okay, so what do I choose now? Okay, well, I choose to, you know, dive into gratitude. Okay, cool. And then that is where the shift happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And for a lot of people, they would go, man, that, you know, that sounds great. There's been a process of accumulation that you guys have gone through for this. What have been some of your greatest habits that have allowed you to, you know, really create these disciplines in your life or create this intentionality and this awareness around those things in your life? Maybe one that has served you well and maybe one that you shed that really allowed you to kind of take that quantum leap forward.
I'm going to let Alexi go first, but I want to say this. We have a book coming out called Now or Never that is fantastic, and it's packed with all of the practical tips and tools for everything we have talked about thus far.
And more.
Yeah.
And more. So there is, I mean, we have literally put all of our practices into the book. It's our five foundations that we've lived by, but I'll share with you guys that a big, big, big thing that has changed everything for us has been shedding the victim consciousness. Mm. And unfortunately, you know, most of the world has been trained to look outside of themselves and blame the external circumstances for why their life's not working.
It's all Trump's fault.
It's the it's you know, it's my boss, it's my partner, it's my kids,
the old ball and chain.
It's whatever. You know, everybody wants to look at what's happening outside of themselves and put blame on why their life's not working out there. And, you know, quite frankly, we've been through the process of living that and having that be our reality. And nothing is created in victim consciousness, nothing, except for blame, except for powerlessness.
Right.
And when you truly shed that and step into full 100% responsibility, what we call radical responsibility, what happens is everything shifts. Because, yes, at first it's really hard to take 100% responsibility for your life, because you start realizing that, again, like Preston said, life is responding to you. And the you that shows up every single place you go is responsible for the reality that you're experiencing. So, again, if there's something that you're not liking, if there's something that feels off, if there's something that's not working, it's you. Yeah. It's nothing other than you. And that, while it's very confronting, is also very empowering, because you know that you can actually control, create, and direct the you that you are. And it all comes down to conscious choice. And, it, you know, we've got a bunch of practices to help get you there. Mm-hmm. But that's the biggest one. Once you shed victim consciousness, then you're in a powerful state.
Mm. And for everybody that's listening right now, we are going to have links on themillionairemindcast.com for not only all of their content, but also for this amazing book, Now or Never, Your Epic Life in 5 Steps. And I know, you know, we've been talking a lot about presence. We've been talking a lot about consciousness. I want to kind of tap into your guys' brain for a second and know kind of your intention and your motivation. What inspires you to do what you guys are doing? Besides this journey that you guys are on individually and on together, you guys are impacting and inspiring thousands and hundreds of thousands of people around the world. Why do you guys do this?
Mm. Yeah, man. The short of it is, if anything, and I'm speaking for myself, but I know I speak for Lexi as well, but I'll let her say hers. If anything I do, say, or be even opens up a slight window into the possibility of someone else's personal freedom, then I have done my job. Oh. And so for me, that's an everyday process, right? And that's camera on and camera off. That's social media on and social media off. For me, I actually genuinely love people. I'm passionate about people. I'm the dude who can sit on a train, a coffee shop. You can put me anywhere, and I will be observing. And, you know, I'm like a little scientist, and I just love us, and I love me, and sort of diving into me. And so if my life can be an example of what's possible for somebody else, then literally I've done my job.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, that's definitely true for me as well, but I'll add to that that, you know, since I was young, I've been obsessed with the potentiality of human beings. I've been a scientist of researching and figuring out how to make this machine called the human work to its highest capacity. And, you know, I've, and Preston and I both have explored all realms, from esoteric wisdom to ancient philosophy to, you know, practical science and the brain. And I mean, we've studied all facets of the self, because we know that we are literally living at 10% of our capacity and potential. And for me, if I can be a part of awakening and activating people's highest potential, there's just something about that that excites me and turns me on and makes me feel super useful in this life, because I know that we're capable of so much more, and it kills me to see people living at 10%. It just kills me.
I couldn't agree more. Don't you feel that there is like this awakening, this new awakening happening right now, where people are plugging into this, or they're at least like, I wonder what's that, you know, what that side is all about?
Yep. Oh, yeah. And you know what? It's happening at a younger age, which is so exciting, because now, I mean, we get 15, 16, 17-year-olds reaching out to us saying,
so cool.
Oh, my gosh, I'm glad I found you guys, because I've been having these questions in my mind. People are having these existential crises at you know,
12.
Yeah.
12 years old now.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And that, the last part is we do this because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right? It really is. And you know what? Like, we are so aligned in our soul and with our purpose and our mission. Like, there's just, like, we say this all the time. We look at each other and we laugh and we say, what else would we do?
Yes.
You know, like, this is who we are. It's what we live and breathe. What else would we do?
Yeah. Has this always been your mission, though? Because there might be a lot of people saying, you know, I have this passion or this idea or this thought or this feeling. And yet it sometimes feels hard for people to get in alignment with what that reality could look like for them. Has this always been a vision and a passion for you? Or what do you say to those people that may feel like, hey, I haven't found my calling yet?
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting is it was always a passion for Preston and I for a long time. You know, we both had our kind of coming into moments, our big aha moments where we dove deeper into the work. But like Preston said, he's a people person. He's always been that way.
Yeah.
I've always been super curious about tapping my highest potential. So put those together. And, you know, we had other careers. Preston was in entertainment. I was in entertainment. We were kind of going the traditional route of what we thought was the way to make money and have a big life. And what's funny was, is this was right underneath our nose the entire time. And we didn't truly acknowledge it and step into it until the other things started feeling so out of alignment that we said something's got to give.
Yeah, you'll know. You'll know. And the answer is no, this has not always been the exact, you know, mission or vision, but underneath it, which is what Alexi is talking about, and I really want to be very clear to anybody listening that 9 out of 10, you're sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah.
9 out of 10, the thing that will literally create room all of your life and make you millions without you even, I mean, you're going to try. Everybody tries. We're all going to put effort. But the thing that is right there with you, 9 out of 10 is right under your nose.
It sure is.
Yes, you know, I was in a gang, right? But even when I was in a gang, I was a leader. Where I was leading people wasn't necessarily the best place. I've shifted that same energy. The energy hasn't changed, but I've just redirected the energy. So right underneath my nose, I was sitting on a gold mine at, you know, 15 years old when I was, you know, running around the streets, spray painting and stealing out of liquor stores and fighting, right? But I just shifted the energy. And so, no, I've had many passions and I will continue to. I love surfing. I love nature. I love a lot of things. This happens to be the one that's like sort of the underbelly and it connects all of them.
Mm.
So, you know, life is long and beautiful.
Yeah.
If so.
I think a lot of times we forget that too, you know?
Yes, we do.
Take the ride.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to say too, a lot of people are really stressed out about finding their purpose.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's my purpose? As if they're going to come to it at, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old for the rest of their life. You know, that's laughable. And Preston and I operate from the standpoint that we all have the same purpose, which is to grow into our highest potential, to reveal, and that is, which we believe, love. And for that, once we kind of release our purpose and know, okay, we're kind of already on that path. You know, we're on that path whether or not we want to be. And now we get to decide what mission we're choosing to take on at this point. You know, our mission right now looks the way it looks. You know, it's books, it's videos, it's workshops, it's online programs, it's speaking, it's all of those things. Now, may that shift in 5-10 years? Of course.
Especially when we have babies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we're open to that. You know, we believe that life becomes hard when you're in resistance to life.
Yes.
So if life is pointing you in the direction and it's saying, hey, in order for you to unfold into your highest potential, which is love, we need you to go this way. We're like, cool, let's go that way. Let's see what's over there. And it's really this mentality, and this is so simple but so hard for so many of us to practice. It's this mentality of remembering that this human game is just a game.
Mm.
It's literally just a game. And we've all chosen to come here and play. And most of us forget that it's a game and that we're here to play and we're here to see what it feels like to be human. So if we remind ourselves of that, we just stop taking ourselves so damn seriously and we can really start kind of letting life guide us into the directions that feel most aligned with who we are.
I love that. I kind of look at it as almost like the Jack and Jill. Life is kind of leaving a trail of breadcrumbs, and a lot of the times we see them there, but we don't always follow, and we don't always take that bait that the universe is giving us to step into those paths that we may want to follow. Maybe not in the case of Jack and Jill, but in general, right? I think a lot of the times we just don't have that consciousness and that intentionality and awareness of how we are engaging with our own life. It just becomes kind of the put the blinders on, or we're living zombies a lot of the time.
We are. And I love that you brought that example up, because the breadcrumbs are always there. The problem is most people are looking at the house all the way on the other street, and they're missing looking down for the breadcrumbs. Mm-hmm. They're so focused on the $1 million. They're mm-hmm. so focused on the life of their dreams that they're missing what's right under their nose. They're missing it. And it's so simple. It's right there. And all you have to do is stop future forecasting so much, get present to the present moment, get grateful for who you are and what you have, and then listen.
Yeah, Matt, I want to add one more thing, because you asked the question, what is one of the best habits that we have? And I didn't answer that, and something just came up for me. One of the best habits that I've especially been in as of late more than ever is moving as fast as possible and as efficient as possible without rushing or moving in scarcity mentality, right? So the thing that I find is that a lot of people are operating as the hare instead of the tortoise, and they're trying to get there so damn fast that they're screwing themselves. And the moment we're rushing, we move out of a creator mindset into competitor. And, I don't necessarily believe in competitors. I don't believe in that. I think we're all running our own race. And the moment that we can get clear on that and be as efficient as possible without rushing, we become the tortoise running against the tortoise. And there is nobody else on the track.
I love that.
Yeah. It's a game changer, man. Because at that point, you're no longer fighting against anything. It's just, how can I be the best version of me today? One of my favorite quotes, and I put this on my Instagram the other day, is if you build you, they will come. The best project we'll ever work on is ourselves. And so instead of trying to compete against everybody else and run 12 races all at the same time and rush, we move out of that mindset back into the creator mindset and have fun during the process.
That's such a great reminder. I can relate, and I'm sure a lot of people listening, of getting in this competitor space. It's easy, especially with all of these external forces in our world today, to get sucked into that vortex. And
yep.
Oh yeah.
That's a great reminder, so I appreciate you sharing that. I wanted to ask you guys a question, because I know in Now or Never, Your Epic Life in 5 Steps, you guys have not only shared your amazing experiences in this book, but all of the amazing mentors and people in your tribe that you've got to learn from. And you guys are so great at not only engaging those people, but extracting their brilliance and their wisdom and sharing it through your eyes and through your filters. And I always go back to questions, because I love asking questions, and I always believe that new questions can't help but lead us to new discoveries.
Yes.
What are some of your favorite questions to ask the brilliant people that are in your world?
Gosh, that's a great question. I think it's less of a verbal question for Preston and I, and it's more of sitting in the question of how are they embodied. And this is really big. I think a lot of people can read a lot of books or take a lot of courses, They have the knowledge, but the knowledge isn't integrated yet. It's not in the cells. It's not in the body. And
yeah, it's not wisdom. It's just knowledge.
It's just knowledge. And we see a lot of these leaders walking around completely disembodied. We see them on stages. We see them leading workshops.
So true.
We see them online, you know, and I think Preston and I, a big part of our shift in the last, especially year and a half, has been learning the art of embodiment. And one of our mentors really led from that space. We took a course called The Art of Leadership Mastery with Scott Cody, and he is the embodiment of his work. And Preston and I sat there every single weekend in Ojai, California, and we watched him. We watched how he showed up. We watched how he listened. We watched how he took his time. And for us, there's nothing more impactful than how somebody shows up without saying anything.
Wow.
Because words can speak a thousand times, but I'm telling you, the way somebody shows up, I don't care how good with words you are, if you're showing up disembodied, something feels off.
Mm.
And so Preston and I, the biggest thing that we've been doing in the past year and a half is watching other leaders, watching these people that we look up to, and seeing how they show up in different scenarios. And for us, that's probably been the most, for me at least, I'll speak for myself, it's probably been the most powerful thing, is to really just sit back in the question of how is this person embodied?
Yeah. And because that's all very true for both of us. And then to go super technical on the question you just asked, one of the things, if you're asking what we ask our clients and people who come to us in an attempt to support them in evoking their truth, it's a million and one questions.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on how they're showing up.
Right.
Back to the embodiment thing. But one question is can you be sure that that's true? You know, people just say stuff. They're like, oh, you know, it's just terrible. And then, you know, this happened and that happened. You know, okay, well, can you be sure that's true? You know? Or okay, so what do you choose now?
Mm-hmm. What would Ooh. Love?
What do you choose now?
Yeah.
Okay, so that happened. That happened. It's not here now, unless you choose it again. Is that the choice you want to make?
Yeah. Another powerful question too to ask yourself is, you know, how is this happening for me and not to me? What good is here that I presently cannot see? And what the beauty is with all of these questions. And going back to your initial question, which, what do we ask the people that we look up to? It's so many things, but the biggest thing that we love to know is, what are you doing on a day-to-day basis that has you so embodied? And again, this is more of an observation, because here's the thing, anyone can say anything, right? Anyone, even our coaching clients, they can tell us what we want to hear.
Yep.
You know, they can totally like spew out a script of what we want to hear.
Right.
But we can see it. We mm-hmm. can see if they've been in the practice of or not. We can see it. It's obvious. So the biggest thing I would say, and I love that you said that, because you're absolutely right. Asking new questions brings us to a new direction. And I think for any of you listening out there, start to sit in the question of, who do you feel aligned with? So as you're watching people online, as you're reading books, as you're taking workshops, as you're, you know, idolizing people and guruizing people, which, you know, we don't believe in, but ask yourself, why is it that I'm so drawn to this person? And then start looking at those parts of that person and how they're living that you're drawn to. And the reason why you're drawn to it is because there's a part of you that is waiting to be called out and called forth, and it's screaming, hey, that thing, let's work on that thing next. So it's a direct indicator for you of where to put your work. Whatever you're admiring is something within you that's dying to come forth.
You guys just touched on so many amazing things there. I love the art of embodiment and how you guys frame that, because ultimately, you know, those people that you look up to, they should be their greatest success story. They should be the walking, living, breathing example of everything that they are, you know, trying to teach or portray of what is possible. So I love that, because it's funny. One of my mentors, he always goes, you know, if there's somebody out there that he disagrees with or doesn't think is being authentic or genuine or, you know, just putting up a front, that guy's a false prophet of the highest order. You know, he gets all fired up about it and cracks me up. But I think that is such an important thing because there is an abundance of information and different mediums and platforms and people to plug into. And you really have to be careful of what filters you put it through and who you allow to impact you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, a lot of people, you know, just talking general here, a lot of people are not aware of the influences that they've opened the floodgates to. So the news, television, mainstream television, magazines, even certain accounts that they may follow on Instagram, you are self-programming. You are programming yourself. And now we have a choice. We obviously can't control how much we're being advertised to when we leave our house. But if you can cut yourself off from all this just obliteration to your mind and your spirit, you can literally come into closer contact with the truth of who you are. Mm-hmm. And the problem is most of us, we're living from fear, we're acting from fear or scarcity. And it's coming from this idea that we're letting all these influences in our lives that are literally changing our entire day. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I just have the news on in the morning just to keep current on what's happening in the world. And that 5-10 minutes of fear stays with you throughout your day. Yeah. And it lives in your head. And then it has you make decisions and take actions from a place of scarcity rather than abundance and love.
So as we wrap up, we head into this final stretch here. I always love to give our audience kind of a glimpse into your preferences, your life. So what is the last book that either of you picked up and what did you like about it?
Currently, I'm reading You Are the Placebo by Joe Dispenza. Mm. It's a fantastic, mind-altering read about how basically our bodies are designed to heal themselves. And with something like the placebo effect, you can literally trick your body into healing all sorts of quote-unquote deadly diseases. So it's a really powerful book, kind of about epigenetics and really rising above the medical field and trusting our bodies. And it's been fantastic. Very I think cool. Like every chapter I'm like, oh my god, Preston, you need to listen to this. <Yeah. laughs> It's so good.
Yeah, for me right now, this morning I picked up Conversations with God and started skimming through that. But Now or Never by Alexi Panos and Preston Smiles.
Yes.
To tell you the truth, dude, if you were in our house right now, if we opened this camera up and you looked around, you would find
stacks.
Probably...
we probably have like a thousand plus books.
Yes, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to come raid your guys' library one day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got great books.
What's your guys' favorite application or software or technological tool that allows you guys to expand your reach and expand kind of everything that you guys are doing?
Facebook.
Mm. Yeah, Facebook is pretty bomb because people can tag their friends, they can share it, and all of a sudden you've got reach of somebody's entire network. So it's really cool because it's the power of community. And, you know, everyone can be on Facebook. So any of you out there who are starting a business and have the excuse of, oh, well, I don't have the money to advertise. Preston and I have not put a penny into advertising until this year, like a few months ago. Mm-hmm. So it's really powerful to know just what the power of community can do. And the biggest thing is you've got to really have a product that offers extraordinary value to people. And if it's of extraordinary value, people will share it. And the biggest thing, too, is like show up in ways that they can have a taste. Give them free content. Give them a free taste of who you are and what you're about so that the word can get out.
Value, value, value. I love it.
Yeah.
All right, last one for you guys. If you had the opportunity to switch brains with anybody for a day, who would that be and why? And I'm not going to let you choose each other.
Yeah, for me, that would be, if he existed, it would be Jesus.
Damn it, you stole my answer.
Okay, and if it wasn't Jesus, then it would be, the Buddha.
You know what? I'll say my current answer would be Esther Hicks. If you don't know who she is, she's a channel for higher beings, I guess. And I used to think all that stuff was incredibly weird. But you read it and you read the wisdom that has come through her and you're like, oh my gosh. For me, it resonates at such a high level for me. So whether or not it's true, I'd love to get in her brain and be able to experience that feeling of connecting with that many different wisdom keepers.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today, having you share your wisdom, all the amazing insights, the ups, the downs, the, you know, the challenges, and just your personal experiences. I want to thank you for sharing with all of our listeners, all those people that are looking to, you know, create more wealth and abundance, increase their income, impact, and influence, and whatever it is that they're doing. I love what you guys are doing. I'm a big fan. And we'll be sure to share and post the links to Now or Never, Your Epic Life in 5 Steps. And also they have many other amazing books and you can follow them on social media. But for anybody that does want to engage with you guys more and isn't already doing so, what's the best place for them to find you?
They can find both of our content at alexiandpreston.com or just type in at Alexi Panos or at Preston Smiles on anything on social media and you'll find the other one.
Yeah.
Much love to you guys. Cheers.
Well, that does it for this episode. I just loved my time getting to spend it with Alexi and Preston during this interview. And I just love how committed they are to growth for themselves and just for serving others and helping others grow, which, as you know, is exactly why I do this show, the Millionaire Mindcast. I don't make any money from it. It is ultimately a passion project of mine just to serve and to give whatever tools and resources I can to all of you, the amazing listeners, to level up and empower you in your journey of unlocking a more rich and fulfilling life for yourself, whatever that definition may be for you, because everybody has a different one. So it was awesome to hear from two other amazing thought leaders making their impact on the world. Hey, just a heads up, MillionaireMindcast.com is down and it's under construction and we're almost done building out a new site. We actually had some hackers come in and wipe us out. So that was a fun learning lesson and a great challenge to overcome. So now we have really taken that stride in building something even better. So hang tight with us there. That'll be up by the end of January, but the show notes won't be posted quite just yet. However, if you do want the show notes or need any of the links to their books or courses, feel free to direct message me or visit the Millionaire Mindcast page on Facebook. And we'll have all of the info available there in the meantime. And also, due to the demand and interest we had from many people still wanting to join the Six Figure Flipper Mastermind and course, being that we shut it down after we got to capacity, we're going to be launching that again in early April and releasing some fun stuff in the meantime. So if you want more information on that or you have interest in being in the actual Mastermind group with other students, and the hands-on coaching with other people in the community, which really is the benefit of the entire course. The course is amazing, obviously, but at the same time, it's all about the community and the people that are learning together, growing together, and having success stories and wins together. So if you want more info on that, you can sign up at sixfigureflipper.com. That's the number sixfigureflipper.com. Or if you want to text the number sixfigureflipper, that's all one word, to 44222. It'll automatically get you on that list. So that will be launching in early April, leading up to that time. We'll be giving away a lot of free content and information to all those on the list. So stay tuned for that and stay tuned for more exciting stuff flowing out into the Millionaire Mindcast community. We're here to serve and to give you all of the knowledge and the tools and the resources and the connections that you possibly could desire and want. So with your help, like last year over the first 7 months of the podcast, you gave us so many great ideas for show episodes, for guests that you wanted to hear, for content that you wanted to learn about. And I'm going to be relying on you guys to keep giving us some of that ammo moving forward. So if you want to send that over to me at Maddie A MATTYA at millionairemindcast.com. You can do it that way. You can message me on Facebook or find us on the Millionaire Mindcast Facebook page. So until then, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.